listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Well, as it has already been mentioned, we are in our month of Sabbath. And I know that for some of you in the room, you have no idea what we're talking about. Our very first summer at DCC, we're not quite a year old. We launched in September 2006. We came out of vacation Bible school in June, and we were exhausted. We had done everything we possibly knew to do to grow the church in the critical stages. And I know that God adds to the church daily those who are being saved, and we don't take that lightly, but we had some work to do ourselves. And we did everything we possibly could. And just with a small handful of volunteers, we accomplished that first vacation Bible school after a very busy fall and winter and early and spring. And so that summer, I just felt like we were tired, and I felt like God was calling us to a month of rest. So that first July in 2007, we took a break, and we have done it every year since. And let me just kind of explain to you how that's evolved and what it looks like. Over this month, you're going to hear from each of our staff pastors, Pastor Scott, Pastor Zach, Pastor BJ, and Pastor Andrew. Matter of fact, this is going to be the only day, the only Sunday that I'm going to preach. This is the only message I'm going to preach during this month. And I want to explain to you why this is so important to me, and ultimately why that's important to you. The way I figure it, I've probably got about 17 to 18 years left in full-time ministry. In full-time ministry. I don't think I'll ever stop ministering, but in full-time ministry, probably 17 to 18 years. That's just a little over the amount of time that I've been pastoring this church, just to put it in perspective for you. So I'm about to complete my 26th year of full-time ministry. God willing, I plan on being at DCC for the rest of my full-time career. But to avoid burnout and fatigue, this gives me a good break from preaching to be refreshed and renewed annually for myself. And it's important for me. It's important for you. A few years ago, our administrative council also mandated that I take this month off from all appointments and all counseling. In ministering, it just sometimes your brain can become mush, and it's healthy for me to take some time off from meeting with people and individuals and couples and different ones, just to make sure that I'm okay, and probably get some counseling myself during that time. And so they mandated that for me, and I'm very thankful that the council did that for me. It gives me time to read, it gives me time to plan, it gives me time to write for the upcoming year. This is also a time for you to refocus and reprioritize your life. I'm asking you, focus on the things that matter the most during this month. During the month of July, focus on your relationship with God first, then focus on your relationship with your immediate family, and then I want you to focus on your relationship with those close friends around you. We are intentionally taking a break from all midweek programming, including Bible studies and small groups. If you're a small group leader, you know this in advance. This is the month that you are going to take off, and we are going to do this church-wide, okay? Church-wide, and everyone has to abide by this because it's important for us, because God blesses us because of this. We've accomplished some great things for the kingdom of God over this past year, and we've got some great work and opportunities ahead of us. And this is going to ensure that we are mentally, physically, and spiritually ready and prepared for what God has for us moving into a new season. One last thing is that I'm asking you, and this is always where I get the looks, okay? So I'm prepared. Your looks of stupidity are not going to scare me when I say this. I'm asking you to only work the necessary hours to keep your job this month. It means no overtime. If you have a choice in it, if you have a choice, now listen, if it's mandatory overtime, you don't have a choice, but you know the difference. And I'm asking you to trust God during this month, because God can do more in your downtime than you can do with your hand to the plow. And I'm asking you to trust God, and there are testimonies all over this congregation of how God has blessed people, individuals, families, marriages, because people have chosen to honor this. You have permission to say no to overtime and extra shifts and more work. You've got permission. Enter this month of rest with a mindset that God is going to do more in your life when you rest and when you trust Him. go to work, keep your job. I want to make sure that everyone understands that. I'm not telling you not to go to work, okay? I'm still going to be working, okay? I'm still coming to the office. I'm still going to be working. There's just a few things that I'm taking a break from. But just don't do the extra work this month. Instead, go home at a decent hour, spend time with your family and close friends, and make the most of this, because time is something you're not going to get back. Nobody can make time. Time is spent, and once it's gone, it's gone. And I abused this in the early years of ministry, and thank God he got a hold of my heart during the formative years of my children's lives, and it changed our family dynamics and probably saved my marriage. So learn from me. With that being said, welcome to Shabbat, DCC. It's our month of Sabbath. Amen? And today we're beginning a new series called Give It a Break. Somebody say, Give It a Break. Each week we're going to have a different subtitle, and today is an eternal break. An eternal break. The English word break can have a few definitions depending on how you use it. One definition is to separate into two or more pieces, like the fall broke his arm, okay? To separate into two or more pieces. Another definition is to render inoperable, like don't break my watch. To violate or transgress, don't break the law or don't break your promise. It can also mean to make known or to tell. A reporter breaks the news, and so it makes it known. It can mean to ruin financially, like you're breaking the bank. It can mean to exceed or surpass when someone breaks the record. It can mean to solve. An investigator may break the case. It can also mean an interruption or suspension, like Ross and Rachel were on a break, right? Right? Obviously, that definition that we are going to lean into will be that interruption or suspension, because Sabbath is our break from the norm. Somebody say, thank God. Sabbath is our break from the norm. It is a gift that God gave us to cease from work and to rely on Him. And to kick off this series, we're going to begin in Exodus chapter 20. This is all today, okay? We're going to begin in Exodus chapter 20. We're going to quickly flip over to Numbers chapter 10. And then we are going to land in Hebrews chapter 4. Now keep in mind, this is the only sermon that I will preach this month, so I've got to get it all out today. So over the next 2.5 hours, I'm just kidding. Close the doors. Exodus chapter 20, Numbers chapter 10, and Hebrews chapter 4. That's where we're heading. Exodus chapter 20, Numbers chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 4. Allow me to save us some time and summarize where our text takes us today. 3 months after leaving slavery behind, the Hebrews set up camp at Mount Sinai, where God begins establishing his covenant with them as his chosen people. I've always described it as this. At Mount Sinai, God was establishing the constitution of the Hebrew nation. It was there where God gave them the law, which includes the Ten Commandments. Commandments that just make us better human beings, like this: honor your father and mother, don't kill other people, don't commit adultery, don't steal other people's property, don't lie, and don't covet and want something that somebody else has. We can all agree that life is just better when we follow these commandments, but those are just the last 6 commandments, and those last 6 commandments focus on humanity's relationship with each other. It's how we are to treat one another. It's the first 4 commandments that don't always make our priority list, and these are tough. And unfortunately, these are the commandments that focus on humanity's relationship with God. And so the first one is, don't worship any other gods, because God wants your full trust. He wants your full attention. He said, don't make any graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, because God's name is holy and it should be revered. Now, it's the 4th commandment that really trips us up, because we most of the time don't have a problem with the other 3. We may not walk them out to the fullest, But it's the fourth one that is so easy to break. Out of all 10 of the commandments, the fourth commandment is the one that humanity breaks the most. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And just notice, God spends more words and more ink on the fourth commandment than he does all the other commandments. Watch this. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. He blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let me say this about before we go any farther with this. The fact that you're here today, I believe honoring Sabbath, you're walking into a blessing simply because you are honoring, you're remembering, you're keeping the Sabbath. And I believe God blesses that. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This Sabbath commandment, if you notice the way that they're listed, it is the bridge between our relationship with God and our relationships with other people. This is the commandment that bridges both. It is ironic how people that don't keep the Sabbath, they find themselves sometimes breaking the last six commandments. It's not all at once, and it's certainly not immediately, but not learning to rest in God will always cost you something in the long run, just as Israel eventually paid the price. How does this happen? Well, when you don't keep the Sabbath, essentially what happens is that you yourself, you develop a God complex. When you refuse to keep the Sabbath, when you don't make the Sabbath a priority, what you're saying is, I am God. At least I am Lord over my life. And you develop this God complex. You actually start believing that you are directing your future. If it is to be, it's up to me. In other words, if it's going to happen, I've got to make it happen. I can't afford to take off right now. I am Lord over my life. I control it all. You've heard it said, you know how to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. You see, you think you're in charge of your life. You're not in charge of your life at all. What if I gave you a Sabbath guarantee today? Like, what if I gave you your money back guarantee? What if I said, listen, if this doesn't work, you can have your offering back today? I'm not going to do that. But what if I did? What if I did? Would you practice Sabbath if there was a guarantee with it? Because I can guarantee you that if you keep the first four commandments, you won't break the last six. If you'll learn to keep the first four commandments and make them priority, the last six are never a problem, because families that Sabbath together, their children honor their fathers and their mothers. Parents that Shabbat, they won't kill their children when they don't honor their father and mothers, right? Spouses that Shabbat together, they don't commit adultery. People who rest in God, they won't steal, they don't lie, they don't covet and want something that somebody else has, because they are content with what God has provided for their life. And God gave Israel a standard for living that gave them the opportunity to find peace amongst the troubles of life. If they could just learn to rest in God, if they could just learn to trust in Him, then Israel was going to succeed. Israel stayed at Mount Sinai for about 1 year. And during this time, following the instructions of the Lord given in the law to Moses, they constructed what is called the tabernacle. It's a tent. It's a tent, a place of sacrifice. It's a place where the priests would worship. And in the tent is where the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God, that is where it was housed. It would reside there. And during the day, a cloud stayed over the tabernacle, and at night, it was a pillar of fire in the sky. And God instructed them to follow the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. If it didn't move, you don't move. Some of us need to learn that. We need to learn that in our homes. We need to learn that in our jobs. And we need to learn that in our life. If God's not moving, we shouldn't move. We need to sit our rear end still. That's not even in my notes. That's just free right there. God just loves you that much to let you know, don't move unless He's moving. Amen? God instructed them, you follow that cloud. If it doesn't move, you don't move. If it does move, then you pack up your stuff and you begin moving with it. And they camped out at Mount Sinai for a year waiting on it to move. And when it finally did move, they packed up the tabernacle first and all of the holy things, and they began to prepare to follow the presence of God wherever it would lead them. After Israel leaves Mount Sinai, they find themselves traveling through the wilderness in pursuit of a land that God had promised to their forefathers, a land that we refer to as the Promised Land. In Numbers chapter 10, which is where we're heading right now, Numbers chapter 10, there is a significant piece of scripture that is easily missed if you are not careful. We might often miss it, but I want you to understand Moses did not miss it, because Moses was catching a glimpse of Yahweh Shabbat, the Lord of the Sabbath. Moses was getting a glimpse of that. And you flip over to the New Testament, and Jesus calls himself in Matthew 12 and 8 and Luke 6 and 5, he calls himself Lord of the Sabbath. As we read this text, I don't want you to miss what God was doing for them. Pay special attention, close attention to these words, because when you just read through the Bible, for those of you that are just, you're on a reading plan, maybe you read through the Bible in a year, it's easy to lose the meaning of what's happening. Listen close. Numbers chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. So they set out from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them 3 days' journey to seek out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was over them by day whenever they set out from the camp. Don't miss this point, church. The glory of God was 3 days ahead of them. 3 days ahead of them. I can't help but think when I turn over to my New Testament that they crucified my Jesus and the glory of God was already 3 days ahead of them. Amen? Because he was resurrected 3 days later. The glory of God was always ahead. Oh, the comfort that this brings my soul, church, to know that while I'm pressing on, while I'm striving to succeed, while I'm traveling life's journeys and enduring the hardships, God is already in my future and preparing a place for me to rest. God is already there. Verse 33 says that God was seeking out a resting place for them. He's already there. And while I'm struggling through the week, God is preparing a spiritual spa moment for me just to relax in his presence. I'm reminded of an event that happened after the resurrection of Jesus in John chapter 21. You don't have to turn there. But if you remember this story, Peter says, I'm going fishing, and some of the disciples go with him. They go fishing one night. And they don't catch anything. And as they're returning back to the shore, there's a man standing on the shore. He's got a fire built there. And he says, hey, have you caught anything? And they said, no, we haven't caught anything. And he says, why don't you try throwing the net on the right side of the boat? I'm sure this was a frustrating moment for these fishermen. But this man said, throw the net on the right side of the boat. They listened. They threw the net on the right side of the boat. The Bible says that the catch was great. It filled their net so much so they couldn't even bring it all up into the boat. It was about that time that Peter realizes that the guy standing on the shore is the resurrected Jesus. He jumps out of the boat and he starts going and everyone else follows. But here's what's interesting. After they recognize that it's Jesus and they get to the shore, the Bible says that Jesus had already prepared fish and bread for them. That while they were working, while they were working hard to try and catch the fish, Jesus had prepared a place for them to eat and to rest, and in that moment, they experienced the Lord of the Sabbath. Someone needs to realize that God has a rest prepared for you, and that when you reach it, all you need to do is let God be God and recognize that you're not God and get rid of your God complex. Amen? In the New Testament, there is a reflection back to the Old Testament Exodus and their journey in the wilderness. And the writer of Hebrews specifically calls out their lack of faith. Now remember, the book of Hebrews is being written to Jewish believers, okay? The Hebrews. And it stresses that there were some people that did not get to enter the Sabbath rest in the Promised Land because of their disbelief and their disobedience. The writer of Hebrews tells us that they did not trust that God could work and fight on their behalf. the wilderness, and I need you to remember this, the wilderness had one goal. The goal of the wilderness was to teach them to live by faith before they reached the promised land. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to it. But the point of the wilderness was to teach them to live by faith before they reached the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God tells Israel that he led them through the wilderness to teach them to trust him. He didn't hide it from them. He told them, the reason why you have to go through this is so that you can learn to trust me. And he reminds them. He said, I fed you with manna. You didn't have to feed yourselves. I fed you. He said, your clothes didn't wear out. For 40 years wandering in the wilderness, your clothes didn't wear out. He said, and you get over to Deuteronomy chapter 9, and it says, chapter 29 rather, and it says that even their shoes didn't wear out. Somebody say glory to God for that. Man, 40 years with the same pair of shoes, I couldn't survive. Praise the Lord. God reminds them. He says that he brought them safely through the fiery serpents and the scorpions that were in the desert. He said, I saved you from that. And he said, when you were thirsty, I brought forth water out of a rock. Through all of this, that first generation of delivered Hebrews, delivered out of bondage, delivered out of slavery in Egypt, that first generation did not trust God, and therefore they missed the promised land. And the writer of Hebrews reminds these New Testament Jewish believers of the mistakes of their ancestors in order that they don't repeat those same mistakes. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, while the promise of entering, someone say entering. This is an important word. Say it again. While the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Now, the ones who listened were the next generation, the generation of Joshua's and Caleb's. They're the ones that got to enter into the promised land. But this generation didn't listen. Let's go to verse 9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That should excite us right there. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered, say entered. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to... Come on, say it like you mean it. Let us strive to what? Enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Church, hear me. Time and time again, the scriptures instruct us to enter Sabbath. This is an important word. You've got to understand this. Scripture tells us to enter Sabbath. Don't be fooled into thinking that you get to create your own Sabbath. Humanity didn't make Sabbath. It is not self-created. It is not man-made. You don't get to set aside time and make Sabbath when you feel like it. Sabbath is ordained by God, created by God. God has already gone before you, and he has already found a place for you to rest. Whether or not you enter into it, that's up to you, but God has already ordained it for you. His glory has already located, pinpointed, and marked it on the map. His presence is already on the calendar on Sabbath, and all you have to do is enter in. It's already there. You just have to step into it. You've just got to step in and just rest and just trust and just leave all the worries behind. All you need to do is enter it. You get to rest from your worries. You get to rest from your anxieties. You get to rest from your fear. You get to rest from your doubt. You get to rest from performing. You get to rest from making ends meet. You get to rest from busyness. You get to rest from overtaxing schedules. God says, I've already prepared a Sabbath rest for you. And you need to enter it. You need to walk into it. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath is here. It's here right now. It's in this room right now. And all you have to do is just step into it. Because Sabbath works when we don't worry. Sabbath works when we don't grow weary. Sabbath works when we don't work. But when we choose to worry, when we choose to grow weary, when we choose to work instead of Shabbat, Sabbath doesn't work for us. One of the things that I love about stepping into a weekly Sabbath is that I get a glimpse of eternity. Now hear me. We used to have arguments when I was a younger man, and I'm sure some of the younger generation, the church has probably had these arguments too. It felt like all the songs that we would sing about when I was growing up in church, singing the hymns, it felt like all we were singing about was heaven. It was just like, one day I'm going to die and I'll be in heaven. And I was like, this is so depressing. Like, why do I just want to sing about, you know, my life ending here and entering into glory? Like, I've got to walk this thing out here. But here's what I'm starting to realize the older that I get. Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. And the more people that I know of that enter into glory, the more and more that I realize I'm homesick for a place I've never been. And it's through moments of Shabbat that I get to see a little glimpse of eternity. Understanding that heaven, or rest rather, is the prevailing image of heaven throughout the entire New Testament. That often when it talks about rest, it's talking about eternity. And that doesn't mean that we're just going to sit around and be lazy while we're in heaven, although that sounds heavenly to some of you. That's not heaven, okay? Revelation 21 and 4 talks about this rest when it says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's heaven. That's Shabbat. That's rest. Because in heaven, there will be an eternal peace of mind. It's not waking up one day and you don't have a care in the world, and the next day you have all the cares in the world. It's eternity with a peace of mind. Heaven will be free of worry. Heaven will be free of anxiety. And while I do not believe that Sabbath keeping is a condition to get us into heaven, okay? I want to make sure that I say that. I don't believe it's a condition to get us into heaven. You must understand that the atmosphere of heaven is Shabbat. It is Sabbath. It is peace. I'm going to do my best to explain this, and then we're going to pray here. But many of you have heard me say over this past year that although our worship services start at designated times, like 9 a.m., 11 a.m. for our Newberry and our Florida Women's Reception Center campuses, 10:30 a.m. for our Trenton campus, although there are designated times of worship, worship doesn't begin at those times. You have to understand that in heaven, worship is 24/7. It's around the clock. It's always taking place. Right now and always, there are elders and angels worshiping around the throne of our God. That's what they're there to do. At our designated times, when we say worship begins at 9, 10:30, or 11, at those designated times, we're actually stepping into worship. We're stepping into the throne room of God. Therefore, we set aside time to join in with heaven. I explain all that to you because Sabbath is the same way. Sabbath rest is not something that begins when we decide to participate. It's not the way it works. Sabbath is happening right now. In the heavenly realm, it is right now. Sabbath is now, and it was yesterday, and it's tomorrow, and it's the next day. Sabbath is eternal. It is already prepared. Sabbath, like worship, is something that we enter into, and it's always available to us. So understand what I'm telling you. Sabbath becomes a mindset, a heart set for us. That Sabbath can be found at any moment in a believer's life. But I'm so thankful for the mandate in Scripture to honor, observe, and remember Sabbath weekly. Because entering into a weekly Sabbath is God's way of letting us get a little glimpse of eternity. It's a foretaste of what's to come. Maybe that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. All the joys of those who take refuge in Him. All the joys of those who find their peace in Him. That cast their anxiety aside because they put their trust in Him. That say adios to fear because they trust Him. Those that find peace in Him, they get a little taste of eternity.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.